Welcome to the very first sermon podcast of Lemon Cove Community Church. I'm Lemon Cove's pastor, Ian Hodge. Of course, we're offering this podcast in lieu of a sermon from Sunday the 15th when our worship service was unexpectedly canceled at right around the very last minute. It was canceled because, well, you can probably imagine. Life has changed a lot in the past week or so, hasn't it? Shelves at grocery stores are empty, especially the paper product shelves for some reason. Schools have closed for a month or more, and less important stuff is changing as well. Like, for example, today I had a meeting with another pastor. We planned to meet for lunch in Visalia, and while the restaurant we went to was open, the dining room was closed. So, cunningly, we got our food to go, then went to the patio outside to sit and talk. We're going to stay and pretend like everything is normal. About 60 seconds later, an employee came out and politely but firmly told us to get lost. Well, maybe they were right. Life has changed, and these changes bring challenges to us all. How will we work? How will we play? How do we protect those we love? I know we're all asking, is all of this even necessary? And among those important questions, well, how will we be a congregation when we may not be able to congregate? How do we be church during the pandemic? Well, if we're going to answer that question, we need a good grip on what the church actually is. We can start with what it's not. It isn't confined to our building. It isn't just singing our music. It isn't made up of just the pastor or elders or leaders. It doesn't take place at just a certain time. Or we might state these same facts positively. The church can be anywhere, at any time, doing many different things, made up of all different sorts of people. That means that even though we didn't meet last week, even though we're not meeting this week, even though it's possible we won't meet all together for some undefined time more, that doesn't stop us from being the church. So what is church then? One of the Bible's favorite metaphors for the church is the body of Christ, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes this, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." So here's what we can take away from that, in brief. First, the church has many parts. That is, the church is made up of individual Christians. We are each a part. Second, these Christians come together in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to become one body. And third, that body is the presence of Christ to each other and to the world. So one more time, the church has many parts. Each one of us is a part. Second, we are one in the church. Somehow, even though it's many parts, the church is one. And finally, that body is the presence of Christ to each other and to the world. Let's take these one at a time. First, we're each building blocks of the church. Whether we're together or separate, we're building blocks of the church. In the same passage in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul goes on to describe that all of these building blocks, each individual in the church, they all have a role to play. He says in verse 7, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good." That is, God has called and equipped every single member of the church to a specific role in the church. Now, he lists a whole bunch of roles: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, power, and so on. It's not an exhaustive list, I think, and we find other gifts listed in other passages in the New Testament that also describe the church as a body. Perhaps what we should take away is that each one of us has a role to play in fulfilling the overall mission of the church. If we could make this into something that, you know, a 7 or 8 year old can understand, we might say we're each a Lego, each one of us. We're not all the same color. We're not all the same shape or the same size, but each one of us is capable of fitting together. And now we come to the second point. First, we each have a role to play according to God's gifting and call. And second, through the Holy Spirit, we become one body. We aren't meant to go out using these gifts on our own. Our gifts aren't enough on their own to be the church. The only one who can pull that off is Jesus Christ. And friends, you and I, we are not Jesus Christ. We are not gifted in the same way Jesus Christ was gifted, and our call is not exactly the same as his. We do not die for the sins of the world, even if we might die for the world at the same time. Now, the Bible never imagines a church of one. Jesus, in praying his last prayer for his disciples just before he died, asked that God would make his disciples one as Jesus and the Father were one. Perfect unity is what he wants for us, what the church is designed to be. We are meant to be one body. Now, this is true of local churches, but also true of the church around the world. The church is more that all of God's people are represented. This, by the way, is one of the reasons diversity is so important for the church. People are not all the same. We differ in so many different ways, some obvious and some less so. We differ in color, in nationality, in age, in what we like and dislike, and the music that we sing. We differ in all of these different ways, but we are all intended to be one in Jesus Christ. So again, coming back to the Legos, right? We are all an individual Lego, perhaps, but we're part of a kit. We're meant to come together to make something in particular. So another example, when we say the Apostles' Creed, one of the statements we affirm is that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. A number of you have asked me what that statement means. You've heard it from me, but you can hear it again. The word Catholic in the Apostles' Creed means universal. So we believe in one universal church. Not in Lemon Cove Community Church, as opposed to Church of God or Gateway or Neighborhood Church. Not the Presbyterians instead of the Mennonites, but rather one undivided church made up of every follower of Jesus Christ. And there's something helpful in this. As we struggle to meet in our new reality, we don't stop being the church. We just aren't all the church all the time. We believe in one holy Catholic Church, and one day we will see it all together in all its splendor and glory throughout all of time and history, all gathered in one place, all gathered to God. Now, I don't know if we'll all get seats together on that day or if we'll simply mix in the throng, both many and yet one at the same time. I don't know the specifics, but I know that there is only one church, and we are just a local expression of it. We're not all of the church. Finally, we come to the third and most important point. I'm going to go back to the Legos for a minute. You remember, each one of us is like a Lego, and we're all meant to fit together to create something in particular. Well, this is what that something is. The church is meant to be the manifestation of Christ in the world through Spirit-filled believers in Jesus. The church is the presence of Christ in the world through the Holy Spirit by faith. And this is the most important thing. This is what makes it all make sense. If we're each building blocks of the church, if we're each our own Lego, well, the church starts to appear wherever even one of us is. We're part of the whole. If we are one in the church, then we expect the church to be more obvious when more Christians are gathered together, right? Well, when we start snapping our Legos together, you start to see, oh, well, that's what it's turning into. That's what it's making, because we've got more of the picture to work with. But this last point, again, answers the question of what we are for as the church. We're to be the presence of Christ in the world because Jesus has ascended into heaven. He isn't here anymore, but he is present to his people through the Holy Spirit, and through the Spirit-filled people, Christ is present to the world. Get that? Jesus is present to his people. He's present to you and I through the Holy Spirit because we've received the Holy Spirit. And then when we are filled with the Spirit, and especially when we gather as Christians and are filled with the Spirit, well, then Christ is present to the world. We mediate Jesus. We reveal Jesus. We are the ambassadors of Jesus. And so I bring us back to the original question. How do we be the church during the pandemic when we struggle to gather, when really, for the sake of health and safety, we can't? Well, we live like Jesus. Because remember, the church isn't primarily our traditions on Sunday or our songs or anything else. The church is the people of God who become the presence of Jesus to the world by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we can do this even when we don't meet on Sundays. Even as important as our Sunday meetings are, you'll never catch me devaluing those meetings. Some of the things that we do there, we don't get anywhere else. We can't go forever not meeting. But for now, maybe we can. You see, the coronavirus isn't primarily an obstacle to being or doing church. Rather, it's the divine wisdom that right now we need to be church in a different way than we are accustomed to. Right now, the world needs a church that doesn't come into our buildings and to our own comfortable, wonderful culture every Sunday. Right now, the world needs a church that goes out. The world needs a church that is looking outside its walls. As a matter of fact, as one of our speakers at the National Gathering said, the world needs a church without walls. Jesus told us that the two greatest commandments were to love God with everything we are and to love our neighbors at least as much as we loved ourselves. And right now, the world is in desperate need of love, both inside and outside the church. Not only are people sick and some dying because of a brand new infectious disease, but the steps being taken to protect the vulnerable, for whom we should be known as Christians, for protecting more than any other. The book of James says, what is pure and good religion? Well, it's looking after orphans and widows in their distress. Those were the most vulnerable people in James's day. And he's saying, that's true religion. That's what God wants out of you. Well, but we know that these steps, rightly taken to protect the vulnerable, at the same time are causing hardship in other ways, aren't they? We experience them in all kinds of different ways ourselves. Maybe you're one of those folks who's really struggling right now. Maybe you've got kids who are out of school because of the virus, and you're a dual income family, and you don't know how you're going to make ends meet and keep your job while also caring for your children. Do you know anyone like that? If you're not that person, do you know anyone like that? How can you reach out? How can we be church without walls for those people right now? Maybe you're a person particularly vulnerable to the disease, and you don't know how you're going to shelter in place and get groceries. The governor and everyone suggesting if you're over 65, stay home, shelter in place. Don't you think those folks have needs? Well, how can we meet them as a church? How can we be a church without walls? Yeah, maybe some people are just scared and need comfort. Folks, we are one with the people in the church who are going through these things. We are connected to them by our faith in Jesus. Brothers and sisters with them because we have the same Heavenly Father. We got to live that with them. We need to find and identify these needs inside and outside the church because the greatest commandment is to love God, and He loves even the suffering people, especially the suffering people. And if we love God, we will act. And if we love God, we will love our neighbor as much as or better than ourselves because that's the example that God's given to us. Because that's what He's done for us in Jesus. To be church right now is not primarily about singing or taking the offering or any of the Sunday stuff, not when our country, our world is in crisis, as good as and as important as that is. To be the church right now is to be one with each other by caring for each other and then extending that care to be a church without walls. But remember, the job of the church is to be the presence of Christ in the world. And that means that all these people out there who don't know Him, it's our job to introduce them. It's our job to do the stuff Jesus did so that they can say, well, who would do that? We say, Jesus. It's our job to heal the sick and help the poor and have compassion on the suffering. Jesus left that job to us. And you know what? Mostly, we're not always going to go around doing miracles the way that Jesus did. And yet, we can still reach out and care for those people, can't we? Jesus left that job to us. He came to rescue the people he loves, and he did it. And now he's calling on us to do the job of keeping it up. So the coronavirus is the gauntlet being thrown down before us, the gauntlet for our day that asks if we will be like Jesus or not. The church has always known this, and in the past, the church has shined most brightly during times exactly like these. Not every time like this, we haven't always lived up to our namesake, but many of our finest moments came during plague. For example, in AD 290, plague ran through Rome and the Christians became famous as the people who refused to leave the pestilential cities, the place where the disease was, but stayed instead and nursed and cared for the sick when no one else would do it because they were too afraid. Dionysius, a bishop in the church at the time, wrote, "Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ. And with them departed this life serenely happy, for they were infected by others with the disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of the neighbors and cheerfully accepting their pains." Does that sound like anyone else we know? Like Jesus Christ, who drew our sickness on himself, even to the point of death. He continues, "Many in nursing and curing others transferred their deaths to themselves and died in their stead." I love that last sentence. Many in nursing and curing others transferred their deaths to themselves. The ones they ministered to survived, even when the Christians died. We're being asked today to give a lot less, frankly. We're not being asked to die for the most part. We have medical professionals and facilities today that weren't even dreamed of in the third century. The demand on us is less, but no less insistent. We are to be the church by loving our neighbors, by identifying their needs and doing something about them. Brothers and sisters, this Easter season, our worship is not canceled. You'll notice I try really hard not to say worship is canceled on Sunday, but something more like services are canceled on Sunday. Worship is not canceled, not even if we can't gather together like we want to celebrate Easter. No, worship is merely transformed. This Easter, we are being called to worship not so much by celebrating Easter, by throwing a party, as by living it. We're supposed to live Easter. We need to live hope. And we do it, of course, by seeking and meeting needs. But we also do it by pointing to true hope. Whatever service we give these days is good, and it will be remembered by God, but it doesn't forever conquer death. Only Jesus does that. So when we seek to meet needs, remember that our greatest need, your neighbor's greatest need, is spiritual. Death is not primarily a physical problem, despite the evidence to the contrary. It's a spiritual issue. Death is a result of rebellion against God and the resulting alienation from him. So we offer not only our physical service, but even more importantly, we point in all things to Jesus. And that's how we'll be the church. We'll be the presence of Jesus Christ to the world, together and apart. We'll meet needs like Jesus did, on our own when possible, calling on the church, the people of God, when needed. And we will offer Jesus to others just as he offered himself to us. Folks, I won't be threatened by the loss of church from 10:30 to 11:45 on Sunday mornings. A little more if the preacher is running long. No. I'll be challenged to be the church every hour of every day until the Lord returns. To be church without walls. How did we be the church during the pandemic? We live it. Loving God, loving our neighbor in everything we do. Everywhere we go. Let's be the church. Now, I want to let you know a couple of other things. announcements, if you will. First, if you haven't picked it up, our service this Sunday is not taking place. We will, however, open the sanctuary from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. as a prayer chapel. We're going to control the crowd flow just a little bit in case a lot of people show up. Our elders are going to be present to pray with you if you like, and also to make sure the sanctuary is disinfected as necessary, because we're going to do our best to prevent the spread of the disease. We're going to flatten the curve, just like we're being asked. The session, just so you know, the session will be meeting this Sunday at 1 to discuss if we will have service next week. We will email the results of that. We'll use Facebook and we'll call. We'll get that information out as absolutely best as we can if that's going to be the case. All right. Well, let me pray for us and then let's go be the church. Father, this is a different way of doing things than we're used to. God, we pray that you would use these words over the internet, wherever they are, whatever they do. We pray you'd use them to encourage your people, to help us, Father, to recognize that we, each one of us, are the building blocks of the church in Jesus Christ. You make the church, and you call us to be a part of it. That when we come together, we're really one. We really get built up into something. And what we get built up into is the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of Jesus Christ in our world. Lord God, help us to live that. We can't do it apart from your Spirit. And then we pray as these disruptions hit, Father, that you would meet our needs so that we can meet the needs of the people around us. Help us to be church without walls for the glory of your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, have a good week. We'll see you as soon as we can.